We're going to pick it up in Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 7. It says, how much, this is speaking of Babylon again, you know, because we're reading about the destruction of Babylon. It says, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart. See, there's where the problem is. The heart of the problem is always a problem of the heart. No matter where you're at in the Bible, it's a heart issue. It says, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Now, I want you to see a contrast here between this city who's glorifying herself and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And Hebrews 5 and verse number 5, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now, that verse tells you Christ glorified not himself. He made himself of no reputation, humbled himself, became a man. Philippians teaches you. Now you see the difference between a city and a nation ran by Antichrist and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, I want to tell you this because I do got my chart and I like showing you this. When you read Revelation, you're out here in mail that's not directly addressed to you. So what we're doing this morning is we're looking at mail that has to do with people who's going to be in a time period that's past where we are after the rapture of the church. You get the rapture of the church, and then all these ages to come, the next thing to happen is going to be the time of tribulation, and the book of Revelation's out here. So you have a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world currency. All these things will be set up there out here. But I do want to tell you, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So things, the spiritual realm and wickedness in heavenly places, they are there trying to get everything set up so that when the body of Christ is taken out, they'll be ready to take on all these things that they're doing. And I want you to notice something. It says she glorifies herself. Self-glorification, she says, I am. Do you know one of the biggest teachings right now? They say they got this power of I am. There's even a book called The Power of I Am. I want you to know, according to the Bible, this is not Brother Chase's theories. This is not me just up here preaching. According to the Bible, you have no power of yourself. That the Bible says we have no confidence in the flesh. You know what all our confidence is in? The Lord Jesus Christ and Him working in and through us. That's where true confidence comes from, in me saying, I can't do it on my own. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to do it through me. That goes with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All these things I can't do of my own. Why? Because my flesh does not want to love someone who's treated me bad. My flesh does not want to have joy in a situation where I don't fleshly see or earthly see joy. I can't have peace in a situation where the world's having turmoil, but with the Lord Jesus Christ and yielding to Him, He can have love, joy, and peace, and all these things in and through you, and it has to do with you yielding to Him and the Word of God and saying, I can't, but He can. See, what they're saying is, I can with no one else's help.
That's right.
That's the attitude of all the losers throughout the Bible. That's like Goliath. He had all the strength and ability that anybody would ever want, but his ability couldn't do it if God was against him. See, if God's against you, it don't matter who's for you. But if God's with you, it don't matter who's against you.
That's right.
You see, and what you're seeing is you're seeing things culminating into what they're going to culminate to, where right now is the attitude is me, myself, and I. Whereas the Christian's attitude is, Jesus Christ gets all the preeminence, He gets all the glory, and then I, because I'm yielding to Him and He's working in and through me, I can tap into all those things. Why? Because we're living by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He had perfect faith. Well, I don't have perfect faith. That's why it says He's faithful. I'm not faithful. He's faithful.
That's right.
Okay, it's kind of like this. You say, how can I stay clean? Because I'm just like y'all, it's hard to retain all these things. Hard to retain what goes on in the Bible and stuff. And if y'all are anything like me, I'll get to think, I'll get to reading. And before long, I've read a chapter or two, and I got to thinking about something else. I can't even remember what I was reading about. But see, what you forget is it's kind of like a strainer. If y'all have ever washed a strainer after you've had some spaghetti noodles or something like, and you're just washing that thing, what it is you're putting the water through it. The strainer's not retaining the water, but the water going through the strainer is keeping the strainer clean. As long as you stay in the Bible and continue fellowship with other believers and you're continuing praying, I can't even tell you what I prayed about yesterday. Because so many things come through there. But guess what? The praying and the Bible reading and the fellowship, that keeps you clean even though you're not retaining it all. It's just that the water's coming through you like that. Well, Christ is working in and through you. They don't want that. So that's what you're seeing with this nation. That's what you say, what's the world coming to? The sin of man is going to lead to the man of sin. So that's what you're seeing, a build-up, but we're not there. We're not a part of that. Even though some of these crazy teachers around here teaching that nonsense, the body of Christ is going to be raptured out of here before all these things take place. Now, I want you to see something here. It glorifies herself, and it says, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Okay, now that whole thing, we talked about that queen of heaven over there. Well, it's a female deity. You know what that is? Worship anything other than God. It's just that simple. It's been named different things down through the ages. She's been named Aphrodite. She's been named Astaroth in Kings, I think it is. I'm trying to remember which verses it is. But Diana, and in the book of Acts, it's always this thing. But what it boils down to is they'll worship anything but God. Now, does that happen today? It happens in a form today by this. You know what people to do? They'll rally behind songs and anthems and anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You get these things that have come up, and you got these trending things that happen, and man, it'll be something on Facebook or YouTube or something. It'll be thousands and thousands of views. But you know what? You can have a Bible-believing thing telling you that the gospel is simple. All you have to do is come to the Lord Jesus Christ, a sinner. And if you'll come to Him, a sinner, and trust the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection, that and that alone, you'll have eternal life for free as a free gift. 4 or 5 views, 15 views maybe. Why? Because they don't want what the Lord has to offer. They want what they want, and they want it now. You know, what's the old song? We want the world, and we want it now. Well, when they get what they want, they're not going to want what they get.
That's right.
All right. So it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So in one day, let me read down this next thing. I think it's going to be in verse 10. I'll get to this other thing about one day. Verse 9 says, and the kings of the earth who hath committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So they're literally going to see God destroy this city. Okay? Now, this phrase, the kings of the earth, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 2. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2, that phrase, the kings of the earth. You follow that thing through. I just want to show you this because this is stuff. A lot of times I like to show you things that the commentators oftentimes would kind of skip over. Not to say that, you know, they don't have a lot of good things, but there's a lot of these phrases in there that need to be studied out. This phrase, the king of the kings of the earth, is very important. Why? Because Isaiah talked about how they that lead thee cause thee to err and things like that. It's the kings. Look, the devil is interested in getting people who have a lot of influence over other people. Let me tell you something. The people talk about, I've been fighting with the devil all day long. No, you hadn't. The devil ain't got a, he's not worried about one of them. He can take one of the smallest imps and get a hold of me any day. It don't take much for us. You know, that's like, for instance, I'm my own worst enemy. I have a hard enough time fighting my flesh. You know, but the thing is, you get to this place where people have influence over a whole lot of people. That's people who are in authority. That's people you need to be praying for. It's even commanded us in Timothy, pray for those kings and all that are in authority. We may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. All these things. And the reason why, the Lord knows they are under the influence of the devil. All throughout the Bible, He tries to control their minds and get in their spirits, because it says the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If they are not saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. So what's control them? They are influenced by that unclean spirit, and these kings of the earth are moved to do the things of the devil. And that's why when you see this thing here about the kings of the earth, Psalm 2, it says in verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, see, there's that phrase, set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. See, but what's God think about it? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Well, that's what He's going to do over there. Right. The kings of the earth. That, look, we get so upset about things, and these elections come up and we're, so-and-so's got to get, you better make sure you get out there and vote. Oh, man, that's most, you ever notice this? Is it just me? Y'all are older than me, but every election that comes up, this is the most important election of our lifetime. Man, God's up there watching all this stuff that's going on. He's like, amen. You have a bad one, you have a good one. You have a bad and you have a good. And the Bible said He set at the basis of men up. The Lord's saying, look, people who have got great power like that oftentimes are the basis of men. That's why you got to understand, it's our business to be good to folks in our sphere. Why? We can't control what's going on up there. That stuff is, you know, David said, I don't exercise myself in matters too high for me. That's above my pay grade.
That's right.
I'm just going to be concerned with my family and things like that. Because I tell you something, if y'all are anything like me, I could get involved in that stuff, and before long my family starts suffering for it, my church family starts suffering for it. Why? Because I'm worried about things I cannot control.
That's right.
Stress and depression comes from, and anxiety comes from being concerned, too overly concerned about things you cannot control. And the kings of the earth, that has to do with God. That's in God's realm. That's like our votes and stuff like that. Let me tell you, I believe all of you. Go out and vote and do what you want to. But don't think for an instant that the Bible's not so, because God allows to get in power who He wants to allow to get in power.
That's
a heavenly realm in there. Some things are beyond our control. I can tell you something. We get the leaders we deserve. And I'll chase a rabbit for just a second. You know, you got these people, you know, they get up there and God bless America. If America would bless God, we'd be a whole lot better shape.
Amen.
You know, you got this thing and everybody gets mad about America and this, that, and other stuff. And you got human trafficking going on, and people are buying and selling children and aborting babies and stuff like that, and laughing about all this stuff that goes on, and people wonder why our country's in the shape it's in. I tell you why it's in the shape it's in. It's this easy. Sin. It's just that simple. And I know that may, well, for y'all Bible believers, it's not, you know, y'all don't mind me saying that, but some people think that's just too simple. Sin has done it. All right, kings of the earth. Look at Psalm 76. Psalm 76. I tell you what, studying the Bible would alleviate people from a whole lot of pressure. You know what I've learned? I teach y'all all this, but all the time it's the same thing, but it bears repeating while you're turning there. If people would be more concerned about their relationship toward God and their relationship toward other people that's in their immediate sphere of life, and putting their self last, our worries would be so much less.
Yes, you would.
People are so concerned about what other people think, and this and thinks, and that and thinks, and this other thing. It don't matter what they think. You know, I told y'all this, but I always got a kick out of this. My brother told me one time, he said, you know what your problem is, Chase? I said, well, you know how relatives can tell one of the things, you know. I said, what is it? He said, You walk into a room and you say, I wonder what all these people are thinking about me. He said, I walk into a room and say, I wonder if I like any of these people. You know what? A lot of people are so concerned about what other people think that they forget, what does God think about me? That's the main thing. Psalm 74, look at verse number 12. I think it's verse 12. Let me see. Psalm 76, 12. I actually said 74 a while ago, but I meant 76. It says in Psalm 76, 12, he shall cut off the spirit of princes. Why does it say spirit of princes? Because they are ruled by the spirit of the devil. The spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, it works in those kings. He is terrible to, watch this, the kings of the earth. One of these days, they will be judged. That's why it shouldn't concern you. Why? Because when we can't do anything, God can. That's what makes me feel better about it. Well, it will drive you crazy. Okay, here's you another one. Look at Isaiah 24. The kings of the earth. It's good to see this because, man, if we got a good biblical view on this, we can help a lot of people with it. Politics hurts a lot of people in their thought. You know, poly, you know, that word, if you look at word etymology, I always think that's funny. You know, poly, that's many ticks, bloodsuckers, you know. So you just have to be careful about this stuff. Look, it's good ones and bad ones in anything you do. I try to tell y'all that there's good doctors, there's bad doctors. There's good policemen, bad policemen. You can't paint everybody with the same brush. You look, people are in all walks of life trying to do the good and the bad, and you just got to understand that. Now, Isaiah, and I want you to see this in Isaiah 24. Look at verse number 21. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. Now watch what it's connected to. And the kings of the earth upon the earth. Why? Because the high ones that are on high, according to the Bible, are influenced by the principalities and powers of the air. The high ones on high. That's why the Lord in Ezekiel, he could address the king of Tyrus. And then he's talking about how he's full of wisdom and all this type of stuff. Well, that wasn't, he was in Eden, the garden of God. Well, the king of Tyrus, what he's saying, he's addressing the spirit that was operating in that king at that time. The Lord would address spirits and people all the time. That's like Simon Peter. Simon Peter wasn't Satan. But over there he said, the Lord told him he was going to go to the cross, and Peter didn't understand that. And Peter rebuked him. He said, be it not unto thee, Lord. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Was he talking to Peter? No, he was talking to the spirit that was working inside Peter. See, that's what you got to understand. These kings, there's many lost ones there, and they are influenced by the devil. All right, and so look at maybe two more. Look at Ezekiel 27. It's so many of these. Y'all ought to do a little study on Ezekiel 27, and I'll give you the contrast of what it's going to be like one of these days. And back in Psalms, Ezekiel 27, and verse number Ezekiel 27 verse 33 says, when thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with a multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. Now what's going on? Some people say, well, so-and-so's blessed, so-and-so's blessed. Blessings come by the devil just as well as they do from God. You got to understand, we got spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and that's why we've got to understand to be able to delineate between whether this is the devil giving me a blessing or is this God giving me a blessing. And I'll explain something to you while we turn to look at Psalm, last one. Go back to Psalm 138, and I'll show you the last one on this Kings of the Earth. But come on in here, Papa. We in Revelation 18. And Psalm 38, looking at kings of the earth. But good to see you. God bless you, brother. But talking about blessings, do you know that in the Bible, and this is a good thing, I memorized some of these sayings because they're not scripture, but they're scriptural. Duty is never conflict. if you people can say, well, I'm blessed by God, but God would never have you do something that would contradict a verse of His.
That's right.
So if He's got a verse, if you looked at a verse in this Bible and you say, all right, I wonder which way I need to go. And you know, okay, this is the right way, but I wonder if I need to do this other thing. Well, if that other thing that you're going to do is going to contradict a verse in the Bible, you'll know that you need to go the first way first. Because God speaks to us in His Word.
Right.
So that's why we've got to have the Word of God to know this. And so these kings of the earth, if they're supposed to be getting blessed by God, and supposedly getting blessed by God, but it's contradicting the Word when His Word says you shouldn't bow down to any image, and there's a man up there saying, hey, he's God, bow down to this image. Guess what? Duties should never conflict. They may say, hey, this is the government saying this, but the Bible says not to bow down. Well, guess what? The duties wouldn't conflict. You'll know to go with the Word of God instead of something that's unclear. That's why we have to know what to do. Psalm 138 and verse number four. Now watch this. This is a different thing. This is going to be when the Lord takes over the earth and rules over it. It says, all the kings of the earth, there's that phrase, shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Now, what's that got to do with? One of these days, He'll come back and He'll be King of Kings. Lord, you see, the thing is right now, here we are, we're voting in kings, and the world picks their own kings. But one of these days, God will come back and He'll say who's king and who's not king.
Right.
But see, that comes back way over here in your chart whenever He comes back. So God gets to pick who's going to be kings and things. That's why He told the 12 apostles over there, He said, you'll be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's an earthly program. Well, guess where our blessings are? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Right.
See, that's where there's a delineation that a lot of people forget. God's got an earthly prophetic program for Israel. Okay, then He's got a heavenly program for the body of Christ. And if you don't understand that, it'll mess you up in your verses. Well, the earthly program is not our program. There's going to be a rulership on earth, but you got to understand too, the Bible said He made the heavens to be inhabited. Now what's going to happen? There are going to be people. When you get out here past this judgment here, see, you got the wrath to come. He's going to set up the kingdom for a 1,000-year millennial reign. At the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign, Revelation 20 says that the devil is going to come up and he's going to deceive a lot of those people that's born into that kingdom at the end of that thing. But it says the Lord is going to destroy them with fire. It wouldn't even be a battle or nothing. So you know what He's going to do? He's going to have a great white throne judgment out here. What, that great white throne judgment? We've already been judged at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Our judgment's over with. Okay, but everyone else that didn't live in this time period you're in right now, the dispensation of grace of God, they all have to go out there and get their judgment at the great white throne judgment. So you know what's going to happen? After that judgment's over, the Bible said He'll make a new heaven and a new earth. But what's going to happen is people are going to be born into that system, into that kingdom. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to have to expand. And the Bible said the increase of His government, there shall be no end in Isaiah. So who's going to rule in the heaven? It's not all about the earth. The earth is going to be the center there, and He's going to have His rulership from Jerusalem, like it says. But you've got to understand it's going to keep expanding and expanding and expanding. And guess what? The body of Christ rules the heavenlies.
Right.
That's right.
So you know, you sing about some of these songs about a mansion that don't even touch what you have.
That's right.
You have spiritual blessings in heavenly places that y'all,
right,
your mind cannot fathom what you have to come.
That's
why heaven, you know, we don't really make enough of heaven, see? We just almost, well, streets of gold and all that stuff. Look, that, just to be honest with you, that's just petty stuff compared to what we have. That has to do with that earthly program. When the thing comes down to earth, we've got something out there in glory that He talks about that'll be no end to, that we're a part of that thing. And look, that stuff there, when you get to talking about heaven, It's going to be greater. You say, how great could it be? Your greatest imagination can't touch how great and vast heaven's going to be. It's going to be wonderful. But see, a lot of times we think, you know, you get to watching some of these movies, it's almost like you're just going to kind of float on a cloud and play a harp. And no, it's not. You're going to be out there serving God, doing all kind of things out in the heavenlies, and there's going to be, it's going to be expanding out there. So, the kings of the earth, and you need to see that. So let me get on with some of these other verses here, because see, them rabbits jump out, and I get to want to talk about heaven. Actually, I'm telling you something, man. It's heavenly places. They're real places. Okay? And it says, back over here in verse 10, Revelation 18, it says, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, I want to look at this phrase, 1 hour. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. 1 hour. You know, over in Romans, I think it's 9, somewhere longer there, it says, a short work will he make of the earth. This current world system in the Lord's eyes is just a blip in time. For us, it seems long, but for God, it's just going to be like nothing. And see, we think things will carry on, things will carry on, things will carry on. And what's going to happen to this nation? What's going to happen to this other nation? You know, most of the time, the rise and fall of nations, you have a slow crumbling. Like if you look at, if you read that book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, I've got one on Audible, and I've listened to that thing, and you see how it's crumbling. But I'll tell you something, when it's done, it's done. When you read about the destruction of these nations, it's done. When you read here in Daniel 4 about this right here, I think it's very interesting how when you get in the Bible and look at this thing, 1 hour, Daniel 4, verse 19, it says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. All right, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. All right, so he's telling him, hey, here's a man who's right with God, his 1 hour. But look here at Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. And this is on in the future. And this king here, he didn't listen to his grandfather. And so Belshazzar has had this feast, and y'all are probably familiar with the story and the writing on the wall and all these things. But if you'll notice the destruction in verse number 30, it says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. You'll notice that phrase of that 1 hour. It's fast, it's swift. You got a 1 hour for God's servants. Here he is. And it has to do with the Babylonian time. And he's literally there with the Lord, dealing with the Lord for 1 hour. And for that kingdom to be over, it's just in a night, in an instant.
Right.
See, when you follow this thing through, let me show you another verse over here. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. And I try to drive this home with you as we study this. The application is this. The Lord's going to make short work of the earth. And for us, things seem long. But for God, it's just going to be a quick turnaround. That's like America. Nobody knows how long America's going to be here. We're still a young country. You know, if you watch any of these documentaries and stuff like that, like over there in Europe and stuff, some of those buildings have been there longer than our country has been here.
Amen. That's right.
And we think, man, we're going to do all this stuff, make all these plans. That's why the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You got to understand that these things are beyond us, because, look, if God wanted to, he could just... And you know what happens? Here's man, and man takes their free will and goes against God. And you know what man does when they don't follow God? Is they wreck everything they touch. That's why we have to do it by God's wisdom and God's way, because we'll wreck it. And it just happened. It could happen tonight, and it may not happen again. It may not happen for 50 years. We don't know. But I'm just saying, in the Bible, when things are done, they're done. Look here at Matthew 20. And verse number 12, the Bible says, let's see. Yeah. This is talking about working. This is a parable the Lord's saying here. He says, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. So, you know, he's saying, look, all they have just a short time, and why are they getting equal to us? It's just a short time. You know what's going to happen a lot of times in that kingdom, which we can say some things to us, but I'm trying to stick it to the male of where they are. They're going to be over here in this wrath to come. There are going to be some people, y'all, who right there, right before it's destroyed, right before everything's destroyed, they believe that gospel of the kingdom, and they go out there and they start spreading the message, spreading the word, and boom, the Lord comes back, and guess what? They're going to get in that kingdom. And it's going to be in 1 hour, it's going to be destruction. Now, you know what happens? Say, how can I apply that to us today? Do you know that there are people who get saved on their deathbed? There are people who get saved right at the end of their life, and guess what? They're just as saved as you and I are.
Amen.
And if we ever get to that place, that's how you become a Pharisee. See, if you think, well, so-and-so, they just a little second class, and they don't really serve like we do, you know. You don't know what people are doing. Man, there's people... she's tough. There's people out there, y'all, who are serving in ways you have no idea. And you got to keep that in mind. All right, one more thing on this 1 hour. Look at Matthew 26. I just like to look at these phrases, and a lot of times you get some really neat stuff out of looking at them. Matthew 26, verse number 40. It says, "And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour?" Now, y'all may have looked at this, but as we went through Revelation, the kingdom saints are supposed to be watching. That is a command for them to watch. Now, for me, I'm going to heaven whether I watch or not. Now, you should. But for them, y'all have seen over and over and over, they have to watch. He said, watch 1 hour. You know what that tells me? If you compare verse to verse, there are going to be people right there in that last hour. He's about to destroy, and he's about to come, and they give up right there, and they stop watching right there at that last. Now you know, like I said, I always like to say, how does that carry over to us? How can I apply that to us? Paul, at the end of his ministry, was faithful to the faith, the fight, and the finish.
Right.
Here we are getting close to the finish line. We don't know the rapture could happen any day. I think today we should be serving the Lord as diligently as we ever have, just knowing that, hey, we could, but now we may not, I don't know, but we could be the very ones who get caught up with the Lord in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wouldn't it be a blessing to be serving the Lord? Man, I think it'd be something to be witnessing to somebody when the Lord, whenever that trumpet sounded. Now, I don't know what I'll be doing, but I'm saying this right, you're still saved no matter what you're doing, but I'm just saying, wouldn't it be a blessing?
Yeah.
To be looking for him and having an attitude of, man, I can't wait till he comes.
Right.
Now I tell you what, that'll help you walk too. Well, if you're looking for him every day, it'll help you as you walk, saying today could be the day.
That's right.
And I think that's a good thing. Now that 1 hour there, I mean, it literally is. It's going to be a short time. He's going to destroy him. All right, now let's look at a few more here. It says, I'm going to read on down a little bit. It says in verse 11, it says, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." See, it's going to be buying and selling. See, it's all about getting as rich as they can get. And that's a scary thing for that time. Why? Because today, in today's time, there's no sin in buying and selling. But in the next dispensation, if you can buy and sell, the Bible tells you that you have taken the mark of the beast. Because they have got a one world system and a one world government set up to where, and unless you have the mark or you worship the name of it, you can't buy or sell. And that's why you got people over in early Acts period. See, over in here, on the cross, the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So you got a renewed offer right here of the kingdom. And you know what they're doing over in early Acts? They are because they're full of the Holy Ghost in there, and it's a foretaste of that kingdom that was going to be set up, they're selling everything they have, and they're having everything in common. Well, you can't do that now. Why? Because you don't have a whole lot of people that's full of the Holy Ghost like they were right then. You know what they do? Some people get a little bit more, and some people... That's why communism doesn't work. Why? Because you can't have... Karl Marx was wrong. See, he used Acts chapter 2 to try to prove, man, we'll all just have communism, and we'll just have a common lot. Yeah, then some of you be working harder than other ones, and they'll be figuring out ways to get more of the pie and everything. You know what communism does? They want peace, but it's a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece of the other thing. That's the only peace they want. Why? They want to take it. Today, you can work as hard as you want to and make all the money you want to, and there's no sin against it. Why? Because we're not in that time period, and we're not in this time period. Paul, over here, he teaches you, if a man will not work, neither should he eat.
Right.
You know what that teaches you? You're supposed to give people a hand up, not a hand out.
Amen.
There is nothing wrong with helping people. But the sin comes in where you're enabling people to continue doing what they're doing. I'm going to tell you this right here, and y'all know me well enough to know, I do not believe in giving anybody any money who's got enough money to go buy cigarettes and beer and go to the bar and all this type of stuff. And I just use that. Look, anything that's right. Look, if you've got enough money to go down here on weekends and drink a case of beer, how much ever, whatever people drink nowadays. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to give you any of my money I've been working for. That's like a church. It's okay for us to help people. But when people are out here spending money doing everything and the Lord knows what, guess what? We don't have to. Why? Because in our program, he said if he will not, didn't say if he couldn't, if he will not, neither should he eat. Now, over here in their program, he told his disciples, and we've read that verse, Luke chapter 12, it's a command. He says, sell that ye have and give to the poor. You know what? You know why Lazarus went to hell? Because they're over there. See, when you're reading the Gospels, that's getting close to Israel's last days. They're in Daniel's 69th week, and they knew nothing about a church age. Paul hadn't even been saved. So you know what? You're reading last day's mail when you're reading over here, and there's a rich man that comes up and said, what should I do to enter life? He said, I've been keeping all these commands. You know what Jesus told him? Sell all you have and give the poor and come follow me. Why? That was their program. That's not our program.
That's right.
You better be putting some money in the bank. You better be saving some money. You better have a savings. Why? Because that's what Paul tells you. Lay up in store and all these things. He says you're supposed to work in Ephesians so you can help others. That's a different program. See, you know what people do? They just take the Bible and read whatever they want to in any place they want to and try to put things down on people that's not there. It's not for you. So you got to be careful with that stuff. So you get over here in Revelation and see, we see this thing about these merchants they're buying. In verse 12 it says, the merchants of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble. Why is he listing all that stuff? It's so rich that it will confuse people, because some people suppose gain is godly. That place has got so much stuff, they say this has got to be of God. And it's just not so, because the devil's over it. It says, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots. And watch this. How are they having all that stuff? And slaves and souls of men. That's why the Bible says it's bond or it's rich or poor, bond or free, small and great. It's, you know what that is? It's going to be a communistic setup. There will be no middle class. It's going to be an upper class and slaves, just like it's been down through there before. And you know what? You can get online. I can't remember if it's Barna, but I got two or three websites I look at for research. There are more slaves in the world now than there's ever been. You can go on there and look at countries have slaves. You can go look at it. It's the saddest thing you ever... And man, I tell you something to break your heart. Everybody talks about, you know, we need to get away from these fossil fuels and all this diesel and all this type of stuff. Well, okay. So you mean tell me, instead of burning diesel and fossil fuels like we should, which is a good thing, you'd rather have the cobalt mines over there making them batteries with them kids over there working them mines?
That's right.
Man, that makes y'all a couple of y'all know me. That makes me mad, man. Why? Because it's a false pretense. You know what that stuff is? It's all about how they can get money and root out the working man. That's all that is. It's just a ploy. You know what? It's unsustainable. You know this whole thing about we're going to get rid of fossil fuel? They even know it's unsustainable. You have to have... You know what's going to happen? As soon as all this stuff fizzles out and they milk it for all they got, they're going to go right back to fossil fuels because that's the only thing that can fuel it. Why? It's a proven fact. There's not enough minerals in the world to sustain our economic demands without fossil fuel.
Right.
You know, they go to these charging stations and stuff, and it's interviews out there if you want to look it up. But they go to these charging stations, and people will go up there and they say, okay, wow, you got all this electric charging station. How are you powering this charging station? Oh, there's a coal mine down. You can't power plant. You can't get rid of it. See, it's a false. Okay, what's going on? Oh, this right here is just a facade. Why? It's fed by slaves, see? And so he says it's souls of men. Now it says in verse number 14, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Now, I don't think we have time to go there, but y'all ought to go over there and look at that word lusted in Numbers 11:4, connected with Egypt. And it amazes me how the Lord got the children of Israel out of bondage, and here they go back and they say, man, it sure was wonderful. We was back there and we had the leeks and the onions and the garlic and all this stuff, and we freely ate. No, you didn't. You was in bondage.
That's right.
You know what happens? They didn't even realize, they forget they're in bondage. And so, you know, it's like a brainwashing thing. These people right here are in bondage to that system and they don't even realize it. You know what's going on today? People are in bondage oftentimes to sin and don't even realize it. And you know, the only person who can set you free from that sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He came to set the captives free. That's why I can't stand that bondage. I call it bondage preaching. You have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ does? He sets you free. And whenever He saves you complete and clear of everything. All your sins are forgiven. You know what He does? He says, okay, I saved you. And there you are. If you want to serve me, fine. If you don't want to serve me, I'm not going to make you.
That's right.
And see, that's what messes a lot of people up, because they say, well, you're teaching free grace and people can do what they want to. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. It's up to you to do what you want to do. Why? Because He's going to give you a chance at the judgment seat of Christ to see what you did with Him working in and through you. And anything that's going to last is Him working in and through you through applying the right doctrine to your life in and throughout your lifetime. And he is not, once you're saved, look, you got to understand this. I know y'all know this, but I probably don't say it plain enough. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died for the sins of the whole world.
Yeah.
When you place your faith and trust in what Christ did on the cross, none of us were born right here. Every one of us are born after the cross. So once you place your faith and trust on the cross right here, your death becomes His death. Your burial becomes His burial, and your resurrection becomes His resurrection. All your sin is taken care of, past, present, and future.
Amen.
All this sitting here, Lord, forgive me, all this stuff, it's already forgiven.
That's right.
You got to be careful about this. Why? That's the devil. Let me tell you something, how you can tell if it's God or the devil. If you've already dealt with God about something, God never brings that thing back up.
That's right.
So if something's being brought up to your mind, but who's that doing that? God or the devil? If He's already forgiven you. People do things like this, right? And they'll say, well, you don't know how I was 15 years ago. You don't know how I was. All that stuff's washed under the blood, man. You're a new creature in Christ. Why are you letting that bother you? You know what that devil will do?
Amen.
He'll keep you in bondage to that stuff.
Yes.
You just get up and realize you're forgiven and serve the Lord from here on out. From a forgiven standpoint. Well, if not, you'll beat yourself up. And I tell you something, I know people who could be serving in a church, serving as a deacon, and you know what they do? They beat themselves up because the devil just constantly remind them, well, this has happened, and you did this, and you did this other thing, and God's still ever going, you're forgiven. Why? Well, you're forgiven. It's amazing to me how people pick and choose. They try to pick and choose the team of God when God says, it's up to Him to pick and choose who He wants to use.
Right.
You can't pick and choose the team of God. God will go right around you and He'll use somebody you never even thought of just to put you down. You know, it's like I go back to Simon Peter over there, and like the Apostle Paul, I love reading about them. Simon Peter had he's a pretty bad attitude. Bad enough to where he took a sword out and literally, y'all got to realize something. He was intending on cutting Malchus's ear off, because you couldn't cut an ear off like, he didn't slice like this or he'd have cut his shoulder. Malchus had to have done like this, and he did that sword like this right here. So Malchus done like, he was about to lob his head off.
That's right.
And the Lord says, you imagine, see, the Lord says, Peter. He didn't get all over him, all this stuff. And look, a lot of people said somebody done something like that, he tried to cut his head off, God would never use him. You don't get to choose who God uses.
That's right.
The Bible says if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires the good thing.
Right.
You gotta have a desire for God.
That's right.
If you've got a desire for God and you get in that Bible and you start to, God can use you.
That's right.
I tell you, if somebody says, Brother Chase, who's somebody God wouldn't use? Well, only person in the Bible I can't find God using, and if y'all got a verse for it, please let me know. I've read it a few times. You will never find God use a lazy man. I'm not saying lazy man not saved. I can't find one place in the Bible where God took a lazy man, done anything with him. Now that's the only thing I can't find. All through the Bible, when you go through there and you find God pick people out, I know we're out of time. When you find God picking, Moses was tending the flock over there. He was working. You go over there, Gideon, he was threshing wheat, he was working. Elisha, he was over there working with them 12 yoke of oxen, he was working. Amos was over there working with his daddy on the sycamore tree. Peter, James, and John, all of them, they were all mending nets or tending nets. The Apostle Paul was working. Look, he was working against God so much, he was going all over the countryside trying to round up Christians, man. But he was working. You know what God does? God takes a worker. Somebody who's a little uncouth, he said, I'm rude in speech, you know, and things like that. And God will take somebody to work, and he'll say, I can use this guy right here. I can polish him up over time, see. But God will use you if you're willing to work.
Yeah.
But you got to be willing, you know. All right, let's pray. Brother Mike, if you would close us out.